Welcome to the Fairbanks, Alaska Real Estate Radio Podcast. We're talking right now. I'm kind of in a road construction zone on the Parks Highway, in between Anderson and Healy, and so that made me think about my next topic, which is remote properties. Let's see. So yeah, remote. I like dealing with remote properties because, you know, every couple of weeks, you know, I take one day, usually like a Friday or a Thursday, and drive down and, you know, deal with all of the stuff that I need to deal with, putting up signs, taking down signs, taking new pictures, you know, because the weather's nice, or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So I really like, from my perspective, from a realtor's perspective, I like dealing with remote properties. You know, the other secret about remote properties is that other realtors don't like to deal with them. So not only does that mean I end up with a lot of listings, but it also means that I end up doing all of the showings of my listings if they're houses, because those buyers call people and they turn them down and say they don't want to go drive all the way out there because it hurts their efficiency. So, you know, I don't know, efficiency, maybe I'm not business-minded enough, but I don't think about things like that. I think about helping people, and especially, people that were referred to me by other past clients and stuff. You know, I'm not going to turn them away. So I just keep on doing my thing. Right now I'm headed over to Healy to put up some flyers in the Healy post office and to put up flyers in, you know, gas stations and stuff along the way. So let's see, what else can we say about remote properties? Usually you can get a pretty good deal on them. It's finding a buyer can sometimes be totally random. So if you've got a remote property and you're wanting to sell it, have patience. You know, that's the main thing, because you know, sometimes just out of the blue, some buyer, you know, will turn up. But other than that, we just don't hear anything. I think there are some pretty good deals on remote properties. If you're interested in buying something for a long-term investment, maybe, or to leave to your kids, maybe it's not a bad idea. You know, people buy them for all kinds of different reasons. I see a lot of people that want a little place as a base of operations for hunting. Sometimes they're getting a job out in this area. You know, in Anderson and Healy, there's the coal mine, there's the power plant, there's the Clear Air Force Base. So, you know, right now, of course, there's a lot of road construction going on in this area. So Anderson, what can we say about Anderson? Anderson's having a little bit of a tough time with their housing market right now, but that could pick up in the future. You know, we hope things are starting to look up in the market overall, and I think that'll work its way through all these, you know, more rural areas. So the other topic I wanted to talk about was home inspections. Actually, just inspections in general. You know, it's different in every single state, and actually in every area of every state, you know, depending on how the contracts are written. But by default, in Fairbanks, you have a 15-day inspection period. And that's where you get your home inspection or engineer's report. That's the same, basically the same thing. It just depends on whether your person is a home inspector or an engineer. So you have 15 days to get that done from the day that your offer gets accepted. So if you go back and forth or, you know, offer and counteroffer and another counteroffer, that 15 days doesn't start until everybody agrees on the price and the terms. So then you do that, get the, you know, everybody agrees, you get the inspector in there right away. So something to really consider about choosing an inspector. You know, I hear a lot of times that a buyer wants, like, the most strict in home inspector they can get, you know, and they want somebody that's really, really thorough. And thorough and competent, of course, are great. And, you know, but the thing to keep in mind is that if somebody's going to pick on things that aren't really issues, that you're sticking that seller with a report that they don't want attached to their property, you know? Let's say you get a 9-page report and it's got all these little nitpicky things and you decide you don't want to buy the property anymore, then that seller and their realtor have to attach that report to the property and disclose it to any other potential buyer that comes along. So what if that report scares people away? And, you know, of course, that's not to say that you don't disclose things. You always disclose things. And that's kind of where the issue is. Some things are issues and some things aren't. You know, this comes up on appraisals too. You know, people, sometimes you get inspectors that just make assumptions about how things were built or what things need to be maintained. I just got an inspection report that said that the moss on the roof needed to be cleaned off on a condo. So, you know, the association's responsible for that. So you want to keep that kind of thing in mind. Engineers, we want engineers that walk you through their inspection and talk to you and tell you what they're looking at, tell you how to maintain things. It should be an educational experience, not just a report. That's my thinking, you know. Those are all of my favorite inspections, the one where you learn something. I go to all of my inspections, or almost all of them, if I ever can, whenever I can, because I always learn something new at them. And I've been to so many of them, I can anticipate a lot of the things that are going to come up when I'm previewing a house for listing it, you know. And that's not to say that I'm an inspector, because I'm definitely not qualified to inspect a house, but I know some of the general things that may come up on home inspections and can anticipate them and kind of go through the seller and say, this is a thing that may come up, you know, during a home inspection, or some things come up during appraisals. Because your first step in the inspection process is you get your home inspection done, you put together a repair addendum. Now most, with your realtor if you're a buyer, so now most loan programs don't require a home inspection, and that's kind of a common misconception, is that the bank gets that. Lenders in Fairbanks, under most loan programs, don't ask for a copy of the home inspection, and they don't ask if you're doing it, because it's something that's negotiable between the buyer and the seller. If you handed over the home inspection report to the bank, all of those things need to be done before the house can close. Now, you might think as a buyer, oh, hey, that's a way to do it then, I'll just hand it to the bank. Well, more likely than not, what you're going to end up doing is losing the house by doing that. It doesn't force the seller's hand and say, okay, I guess I'll fix all those things. Maybe they can't afford it. Maybe some of them aren't feasible. Maybe some of them are just not realistic. So you always want to keep it negotiable. You always want to keep the power between the buyer and the seller. You know, the exceptions being loan programs where everybody knows in advance that a home inspection is going to be required by the lender. So that would be like rural development loans or or like Fairbanks Neighborhood Housing Grant Program or Interior Regional Housing Authority Grant Program, those kind of programs, or Alaska Housing, Alaska Housing's Non-Conforming 2 Program. Those are ones that require a home inspection, and the nice thing there is that you make the offer, you declare what kind of loan program you have. If the realtor knows anything, they will know when they're presenting the offer to their seller. Yes, keep in mind as we're going through this offer that this is going to require a home inspection, and anything that shows up on that home inspector list has to be fixed. And so it can get tricky sometimes if you're doing a loan program like that, one of those that requires a home inspection, but you're buying a house that's an REO, you know, foreclosure type of a property. So if you're buying an REO foreclosure property, the seller, which is the bank, under most circumstances won't do any repairs at all. So you're doing this home inspection to give a list of repairs that you have to do before you can close. So, you know, that kind of gives you a taste of what it's like to be a seller and have somebody asking you to fix all of these things. So that's why you want a practical and reasonable home inspector and not somebody who's going to give you a gigantic list and try to look like a hero because they caught all of these things, which are often non-issues. I had an appraisal one time for a condo, and this is not a home inspection, this was an appraisal, where the appraiser said, oh, well, the value of this condo is subject to you getting a GFCI-protected electrical outlet in the kitchen. And so I looked at it, and I went to the breaker panel, and I opened up the breaker panel, and I saw that the breaker protected the entire kitchen. The breaker did GFCI protection for the entire kitchen. So I was thinking, well, wait a minute. Why didn't he just look in the breaker panel? So I called him up and I said, here's a picture of the breaker panel. I told you, you know, this is all protected by the breaker panel. And he said, well, that could be any condo where you took that picture. And so I have to come back and do a final reinspection for $150 or whatever, $100. So that particular appraiser got his $100 to come back and verify something that I was already able to show him. So, you know, watch out for that kind of thing. You don't want somebody that wants to, you know, that does their inspection to try to look like a hero. They need to go through the house and be practical and helpful and educational. That's my thinking. I'm not an expert, you know, and other realtors might have a different opinion about it. You know, other kinds of inspections you can get, there's a radon test. Radon is a gas that tends to float up through the ground when you have broken schist. It's actually, and so that then the radon can go up, work its way through between the broken pieces of rock to get up into your house. And radon's been linked to lung cancer, and I don't know, I'm not an expert on that, but that's another test you can get, is a radon test. The longer you, there's like a little carbon box that measures the level of radon in a house, and the longer you leave the box in there, the more accurate a reading you get. There's the well and septic inspection. Now, those don't fall within the 15-day discovery period. And the main reasoning behind that is that the seller doesn't, you know, we don't like asking the sellers to commit to the $760 it costs for a septic well and septic inspection if maybe some other inspection's not going to work out. Like, what if their home inspection, the buyer sees something they don't like and decide, I don't want that anymore. So now you might say, oh, well, they could just use that septic inspection for the next person that comes along. Well, the problem there is that under a lot of loan programs, septic inspections are only good for 3 months. It used to be a year, and then it was 6 months, and now it's 3 months, and that's all according to VA. Other loan programs are similar. So So basically, I mean, it's the same if you have a brand new septic. We used to say, well, this septic is less than a year old, and then so we want to waive the requirement by VA to get a septic inspection because it's a brand new, basically a brand new septic system. And that has changed to 6 months and then 3 months. And now there's even a little bit of discrepancy between whether it's 6 months or 3 months with the VA. But, you know, either way, they're not getting a septic inspection in advance is expensive, and I don't recommend it. I recommend waiting until you have a buyer if you are a seller. Yeah, so anyway, what they do for a septic inspection, you have your septic is made up most of the time of a tank and a drain field. So they pump a bunch of water into the tank, and then they measure the back pressure basically to figure out how well your water is flowing from one to the other and then out. So if there's a lot of back pressure, then you know that there's a problem. If the septic fails, often you have to replace the leach field, which could be $4,000 and up. If the septic tank's got a problem, then you're looking at $10,000 and up. So yeah, I mean, that's good information to have. So these are all kind of things that we have to balance. You know, as realtors, we schedule these things. We have to keep this stuff in mind. We try to schedule so that everybody can... So that everybody can make it to the inspections. So basically, we're people that spend all of our time, you know, working on real estate stuff. Okay, so we talked a little bit about home inspections and septic inspections and radon tests. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can check for. So another one is, well, with the septic inspection, you also have a well test. Or a water test. Now, sometimes a house might have a water holding tank, which sometimes they call it a cistern. I don't know if there's a difference between a cistern and a holding tank, because we always just call them holding tanks. But anyway, a typical holding tank here in the Fairbanks area is 1,500 gallons. Any smaller than that, and you might have some issues with financing. I say might because the rules change and they're vague. But yeah, so water test. The basic test is about $60, and they test for coliform and E. coli. So basically, you know, it's a test to see if any kind of gross, like septic-y kind of material is getting into your water. Sometimes you can set off or sometimes you can fail that water test by having a dirty a diffuser on your kitchen faucet, because they collect their water sample from the faucet, and if you've like had old, you know, food or sponge or whatever touch that faucet, and then it gets on the will grow bacteria or whatever on the diffuser on the sink. So sometimes, you know, and the inspectors don't like you to do this, but sometimes it's good to take the diffuser off and you know, clean off the faucet with some bleach, just to make sure that's not where the contamination is coming from. So anyway, when they test for coliform and E. coli, and they say if you've got a well or a holding tank, the fix for that, if it fails, isn't terrible. You can usually, there's a process of bleaching out a well, where you dump a bunch of bleach down and then you run it out again. So that's not so bad. And with a holding tank, you spend a couple of $100 on water, because you're doing the same thing with your holding tank, kind of flushing it out and then emptying out the water and refilling it. So that's the basic test. You know, you can also test for arsenic and nitrates and nitrites. There's even higher levels of tests where you can test for lead and copper. And there's the BTEX one that tests for chemicals like what you'd find in gasoline or heating oil. Just in case, you know, one time on one of my rentals, I had the boiler guy He had a little cup of oil left over that, you know, had been sitting under the oil filter on the furnace. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll go dump it in the oil tank. Well, he dumped it in the water tank. So I had to flush out the water tank 5 times and clean it all out and just basically pump water in so that, you know, and continuously so that it was spraying out. And the guy that did that, you know, the guy that did that work on the furnace, he ended up doing the labor and I paid for the water. But he just pumped the water in until it was spraying out for a while, and then drain it all out and do it again. We did it like 4 or 5 times because that's an expense. That BTEX test is an expensive water test, so I wanted to pass, and I didn't want to take it more than once. So we flushed it all out like 5 times, took the test, and it passed. And the water, because we found out right away that he did that, the water never got up into the domestic pipes or anything. So the contaminated water didn't. So that got all cleaned out. Everything's good. But yeah, so those are the kinds of tests that if I guess you'd say if you have some kind of suspicion about something, maybe that you want to get, you know, but if that's what you want, the standard test set well and septic test that the seller pays for is typically coliform and E. coli. And if you want more, you may end up having to pay for the additional water tests. You know, everything's negotiable, of course, but that's just what commonly happens. But you can ask for, you know, you can ask for what you want to ask for and see what the sellers say, depending on how motivated they are, if they've got other competing offers, you know, if it's house hasn't been on the market that long and they're thinking, they're confident they could, you know, another buyer would come along. You know, keep those things in mind, and the more inspections you do, the more disclosure items that they have to attach to their property if you end up not buying it. So, yeah, I mean, do your due diligence, and if you're concerned about something, test for it. So that kind of brings me to the last one. I mean, this is not the last thing you can test for, because there are more. That's not the last one at all. I take that back. So that brings me to another one, which is mold inspections. And mold inspections are tricky because we don't have a standard of what qualifies a person to test for mold. I can tell you I'm not qualified to check for mold. We have a disclosure form with the Greater Fairbanks Board of Realtors that basically says that the seller and the realtors are not qualified to talk about mold. If you see something and you have a concern, you probably want to hire a qualified person. And there are a few, you know, there are a few, or you might want to hire a mold inspector. So now there are a few to choose from. But if you see something that you're concerned about, yeah, just do it. Just when you do test for mold, keep in mind that they're going to find it, right? Because there's mold on everything. So what you want to look for is mold that is hazardous to your health, or mold that can cause respiratory problems, or mold that maybe your doctors advise you that you can't be exposed to. But yeah, there's mold on everything. And in Fairbanks, in order to keep the cold out, houses have gotten thicker insulation, they've gotten tighter, and that means that... That means that they're closed up a little bit, and the air can get a little stale without the proper ventilation. So if a house is built new and it's really tight, make sure that there's some kind of good ventilation system on there. You know, different kinds of ventilation you can get. There's the HRV. That's like the biggest, you know, most expensive, you know, the best system, and it basically pumps out the stale air and pumps in fresh air from outside. You can get, and that's called, HRV stands for heat recovery ventilator. So you can get that. You can get, there's also passive air vents. They look like little circles on the wall with a pull string, and you pull it and it pops open so that fresh air can get in from outside. There's those, we call those fresh 80s. There's the bathroom fans. So, you know, bathroom and kitchen fans. But bathroom fans, you can get a nice fan that's rated to run quietly forever, right? So you get one of those. Excuse me, you buy a humidistat controller. And you set it for, okay, you set it so if the humidity is above 50%, then it turns the fan on. And when it gets down below 50%, it turns the fan off. And that's been a good ventilation system for a lot of my rentals that are older properties. The last one that I want to talk about, I mean, I'm sure there are other types of inspections and probably things that I'm forgetting, but the last one that I would like to talk about is UST, underground storage tank test. Now, this is not a common test, and in fact, I've only ever had to deal with it for relocation companies. I've never had a buyer that wanted to do one of these. But the fact is, in Fairbanks and you know, Fairbanks surrounding areas, there are a lot of old steel fuel tanks buried in the ground, right? So after a while, they rust and decay. And if there's a problem with your fuel tank, then you have a cleanup issue, or, you know, hazardous fuel cleanup issue. And, you know, the smaller issue is not so small, but you're also wasting fuel because it's pouring into the ground, and heating oil is very expensive. So that's another test. And like I said, I haven't dealt with it except for with relocation companies. But I know particularly right now there is a septic inspector that's also doing those kind of tests. And it may not be a bad thing to do. But to keep in mind, you know, as far as disclosure items go, that you're, if there is, you might be exposing a problem that the seller can't take care of because it's too big. There was one time, and this has nothing to do with the integrity of the fuel tank, right? But there was one time, a listing that I had where the ice slid off of the roof of a cabin and cut the fuel line to the fuel tank, which was an above-ground tank up on a stand. And so, because of gravity, the fuel spilled out into the onto the ground, and I ended up digging and digging and digging because we hired in and we had to, you know, and the inspector was the one who caught that, the home inspector for this buyer. So I had to dig and dig and dig and dig. I dug for 3 days straight, 8 hours a day digging to help cut the costs for my seller. We hired an environmental engineer to dig. He came and dug with us, and every once in a while he would put some dirt in a baggie and test it for oil, and if there was, yes, there's still oil in it, it's like, okay, keep digging. And then I got my brother to rent a bobcat because we were thinking, or like a, yeah, I think it's a bobcat or like an excavator kind of a thing, a little small one. The money that it costs to rent the excavator was cheaper than the rate that the seller was paying the environmental engineer. So we dug that all up. It ended up being a 6-foot by 6-foot hole before it was all done. All the dirt had to go into barrels that got shipped to North Pole to get burned, you know, at the direction of the environmental engineer. He did a report. The whole thing ended up costing the seller $16,000. So fuel spills are not a problem that you as a buyer want to inherit. They're also not a problem that a seller wants either, but there is the reality that oil tanks are old. You know, we might be seeing more of these tests getting done in the future. So that's kind of all I had for inspections, and I guess kind of bringing it back around because I had started out the podcast talking about remote properties. Inspections at remote properties are more expensive. Everything at remote properties are more expensive because you're paying for the travel time of the people involved. So that's it for now. You can find this podcast, the Fairbanks Alaska Real Estate Radio, on iTunes or on the website, which is www.fairbanksrealestateradio.com. ryandanhauser.com, which is also connected to my main website, which is ryandanhauser.com. So that's kind of where that's at. Anyway, yeah, if you have any questions, feel free, or any questions or comments or feedback, you can email me, ryandanhauser@mac.com, or give me a call, 907-978-2607. I'd love to hear from you. All right, well, and that's it. Thank you.